We have two scripture readings this morning, both from the New Testament. The first is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The second scripture reading is Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The word of God for the people of God.
Missions Ministry Weekend is an opportunity when we have a chance to hear about people who come to serve and not be served, and to how these ministries have helped transform the participants or the recipients. One of the ministries that Glenmar is probably known for are our mission trip ministries. And here this morning to share a little bit about their very first mission trip experience are the father-son duo of Doug and Ian Greenhorn.
Yeah? Oh, hey, there we go. Well, good morning. We're excited. DC asked us to speak a bit about our first mission trip experience, and so we're happy to do that this morning.
So to start it off, we have a handful of photos from our mission experience back in June. So this first one are our homeowner's grandchildren. The boy's name is Colin, the girl's name is Tay, and the dog in the background, his name is Diesel.
And next slide, please. So, really proud of Ian. He really went outside his comfort zone on this trip, because I'm not real handy, and we don't do a lot of projects like this at home, but here he is up on the roof of the house, which is shingles before, and part of our project was to put tin on the roof. So, next slide, please.
So, this is the back part of the roof. The part that I'm actually on right now is over a porch, and my friend Ugona and I, we actually fastened all of the tin that you see on that little part across the entire house. We actually fastened it all down, as you can see in the picture.
DC said in preparation, you know, it's not just the home project by any means. It's more the relationship. And so I love this shot because this is Tay, the homeowner's granddaughter, again. You can see the ladder up on the roof in the background. Ian has his work gloves on, but he takes time to help Tay on her bike down the ramp there. So we caught that moment. That was pretty special for us. And I'm not a nature photographer by any means. This was my lame attempt to show how beautiful Hurley is. It's a rugged area there. This was the morning mist burning off. Just beautiful, picturesque, very wooded, really a beautiful area.
And then this is our work crew. Our crew lead was Dave Eddy. Obviously, me and my dad are in the picture, and everyone else are Greta, Adam, Cody, Ryan, and Ugona.
And I just wanted to do a couple shout-outs. First to Dave Eddy, who was an incredible crew lead for us newbies. He really helped us along, and he really fostered that group esprit de corps for our crew. And then also to the our high school graduates, Adam, Cody, and Ryan, who really ought to go into the roofing business because they were pretty much independent up on their roof. This was their third or fourth year doing this, and they were just amazing. So what a good experience.
And you could tell because whenever we couldn't be on the roof, they'd be like, ah.
That's right. They really wanted to be up on the roof. So this was our first mission trip. What were you thinking before we arrived in Hurley?
Honestly, I was concerned. I was scared because I didn't know. I was like, there's probably no AC. But we had friends that had gone, and we were all like, well, they all go, and they keep going, and they're talking about these amazing things, so we might as well go see for ourselves.
I agree. I was not sure what to expect, but enough good people had said over and over, you know, Paul Behrens and Eric Labern and all sorts of people on and on testified it's just what a wonderful experience it is, and truly it was. So thank you, Paul. But by very early in the weekend, you were enjoying yourself. You knew, like, by the second day you wanted to come back next year, right?
Yeah.
Why was that?
It was the people. The people, they're just absolutely amazing. You know, they're so generous. They're just, you know, they understand. They're happy that you're there. You can really see it. You just wave to anyone in Hurley, and they wave back. It's absolutely amazing. Try doing that here. They just seem genuinely happy. They're so caring, and it was just really amazing.
Very welcoming to us newbies. So, and what were some of the great things about our first mission trip in June this year?
It felt great to help out our homeowner, even though we never met her. We actually met her daughter, but we could tell that, you know, her daughter was just absolutely amazingly happy. She was just like, oh, thank you so much.
It was good. I really enjoyed getting to know the people from Hurley. I mean, you could tell there's an instant family connection that has endured over 20 years or so that we were able to be a part of. So it was wonderful to meet all the great folks in Hurley, Junior and just everybody. So, and then also a chance during the week, there's plenty of downtime we could get to know the other Glenmar folks, folks I knew pretty well but got to know better, folks I really didn't know but got to get acquainted with. So what an opportunity for that fellowship.
Yeah, and going along with the fellowship, you know, people, they hear mission trip and you think, oh, it's just all work. But really, it's mostly just getting to know people, and that was something that was amazing is, you know, we had so much fun, you know, we had all these outings, we went and got ice cream, we went to the movies, you know, it's not just work, and it was just amazing.
Definitely. The other thing that was amazing to me was to be removed from my usual routine, my work week, and be immersed in this experience of daily service, fellowship, music, devotions, to go to a local church service. Just a totally different experience for me, so it was wonderful.
Yeah, and the last thing that I really enjoyed was we had a little picnic at the local park with, I think, our entire mission crew, and probably double the amount of people were the people in Hurley. So, I mean, you didn't know anyone, like, you only know your homeowner, but they all, even if you didn't know them, they were like, oh, hi, how are you?
Yeah, really wonderful. So what else would you like to say? I know there were some things that, as a high school student, you benefited from uniquely on this Hurley mission trip experience.
Yeah, DC helped us prepare for our SATs by using his advanced vocabulary. I didn't know what the word supine meant. Now I know that it means to lie face upward.
We were told repeatedly at 11 p.m. we needed to be supine in our beds,
yep.
Right? So a lot of SAT words there, but what a wonderful week. So what transformations did we see during our mission trip?
One of my favorites was just seeing how we actually got to change the homeowner's house. We fixed their roof. We fixed most of their porch. And, you know, DC's quote is, mission trips are relational ministry with construction on the side. And you could tell that the construction actually helped with the relational ministry because they were obviously so overjoyed that you were able to help out.
Yeah, I think we saw a transformation, too, in the bonding of our crew. I mean, we were eight or so people who didn't really know one another, but we very quickly, through devotion and time and helping one another out, that esprit de corps really came into a small group in the small group fellowship kind of way, and that was a pretty special transformation. So we have a bond that goes forward from that.
Yeah, and at least for me, I enjoyed actually being able to fulfill all three parts of the mission statement that our church is, you know, praising God, growing disciples, and serving the world. Normally, we only praise God and grow disciples, but it was great to be able to do all three of them at the same time.
Yeah, this was hands-on, you know, yeah. Hands and feet of Jesus. You had that real feel of being out there and directly helping, which is wonderful. I guess the last thing we want to mention is I felt the transformation of experiencing the, quote, fellowship of believers. I had to find this through an internet search of the Bible, but in Acts chapter 2, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts or in the air-conditioned high school cafeteria, as the case may be. They broke bread in homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So that was part of my personal transformation, was to see a little glimpse of that. So we would invite you who have not had this experience to join us next year. We're in. This was wonderful. So everyone, all the veterans are so helpful of newbies like us. So if you haven't done it, we would invite you to do it. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
And of course, all are welcomed and encouraged to come on any mission trip, but for the Hurley trips in particular, women, we love you. We need more women to do the Hurley trips. Mission trips are one way that we get to experience serving the world. They are, you know, week-long experiences typically, but we have ministries that take place every week. One of them is the College and Career Prep Ministry. It takes place in the Sandtown neighborhood of Baltimore. 2 years ago, one of the members of College and Career Prep, Terrence Perry, spoke about his experience of being involved with the program. You may remember him. He was a little shorter, a whole lot more nervous, and not as cool as he is now. Terrence Perry.
Good morning, Glenmar. My name is Terrence Perry. I'm 13 in the 8th grade. And I want to update you on what's happened since I last spoke here 2 years ago. Last time I told you how God has been using some good people to help me have a brighter future. Since then, I've done a lot of educational activities and volunteering activities, thanks to the help of ministries from this church and also from the help of others. It's all about the effort, both time and funding made by them on my behalf, and the effort I've expended to benefit from their assistance. At the center of it has been the College and Career Prep Program ran by Papa John Stapleton and the other adults that support the program. This includes Rob Boyle, Dave Eddy, and Nancy Kent. They are all members of this church. We also have Rick Soloway, the person who tutors me in math, and is also one of the people who helped me get to brainstorming for this speech. Rick was brought into the College and Career Prep Program by Mrs. Chris, whom he met down in Ellicott City 2 years ago, helping with the flood recovery. Mr. Rick and Mr. Ross spent time tutoring me on math to help me catch up to where I should be. They've used flashcards, they've used copies of math problems out of textbooks and workbooks purchased from Barnes & Noble. They've also helped on writing assignments and they introduced me to new material when needed. I've been going to the College and Career Prep Program on Tuesday nights at Little Flower Child Care and Development Center in Sandtown, doing math problems when I just wanted to be home playing video games and wrestling. I then quickly began to realize how important College and Career Prep is, so I decided to think less about video games and more about my education. Now look where that got me. I was able to join a robotics team at school and took a leadership role in it. I ended up going to the World Championships in Louisville, Kentucky. That was my first time flying in a plane. What I didn't know was my ears was going to pop. Mr. Rob, you should have told me that. I was able to attend space camp this past summer and had an amazing experience. I met a lot of cool people that I still miss to this very day. We did a couple of mission simulators and I was the pilot for the shuttle mission, but no one there told me that the pilot doesn't fly the shuttle. What's up with that? Sometimes me and Mr. Rick met on Saturdays at a Burger King near me and spent several hours working on math problems over breakfast. It's been hard, and I still have further to go, but the time and effort I put in has paid off. My grades have gone up tremendously from C's and D's to A's and B's. I feel a lot better about school and more confident about myself. My teachers recognize the change in the effort that I put in and have rewarded me for it. Over the past couple of summers, I've been going to the Baltimore mission trip. It was the very first mission trip I've ever been on. One of the missions was to go to Little Flowers and hang out with the kids. It all worked out fine. Everything went a little smooth. We had a fun time with the kids, and they enjoyed having us around. I don't know what my future will bring. Maybe I'll try and join the military at the high school. I'd like to work on the electronic equipment there to learn the basics, then get some specialized training on the GI Bill after I get out. Although my grandfather wants to talk more about that. I want to thank God, and I want to thank you folks for supporting the program as much as y'all could, and I ask that you continue to do as much as you can. I know that Papa John is looking for adult volunteers and has a waiting list of kids who would like to join the College and Career Prep program as soon as there are enough adults to work with them. Thanks again for your time this morning and your efforts over the past couple of years, and I hope y'all have a wonderful day.
I hate having to follow that. I got to work on the order of this. Terrence mentioned, I think, at the beginning that he is part of this year's confirmation class, so he's actually missing class right now. But I told Jen Rao that anyone who's cool enough to wear a NASA jumpsuit is excused from confirmation. Well, good morning. I'm really excited that this is the third annual Mission Ministries Weekend at Glenmar. For those of you who are unfamiliar with United Methodist doctrine, it is, in fact, a well-established policy that once something occurs 3 years in a row, then we have always done it that way, and it's now an inviolable tradition. So we look forward to hearing about our Serving the World ministries on World Communion Sunday for at least the next decade or so, Mandy?
You got it.
Okay, all right. Speaking of doctrines, since this is Mission Ministries Weekend, I thought I'd take a moment to discuss what the official mission of the church is according to the Book of Discipline of the United Methodist Church. Now, when I shared with Pastor Mandy that I planned on preaching briefly at each of the services this weekend, I asked her if she had any advice, and she said just to trust in the Holy Spirit and everything would turn out fine, but that whatever I did, don't talk about doctrines, because they're sometimes hard to describe and they can be boring. So, of course, I'm going to immediately abandon her advice. The mission of the church, according to the Book of Discipline, is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Well, that sounds about right. And it sounds more than a little familiar. I mean, Glenmar's mission statement is praising God, growing disciples, serving the world. That whole disciples and world thing show up in both descriptions. And if you're like me, and I know I am, you might be thinking to yourself that it's not just a coincidence that Glenmar's mission statement is so close to the mission of the United Methodist Church. Of course, Glenmar also has a vision statement that we are a church that roots people into the life-giving message of Jesus Christ. Several years ago, we had a number of very smart people get together to decide how a church that wants to root people into the life-giving message of Jesus Christ would go about doing that. How do we make disciples for the transformation of the world? How do we praise, grow, and serve? Well, out of that process came the creation of the discipleship pathway. Now, many of you are at least passingly familiar with the term discipleship pathway or the diagram of it. The discipleship pathway holds forth the conviction that there are six broad areas that each of us can grow in our discipleship to help transform the world. These broad areas include spiritual growth, which is intentionally working on our knowledge of God's will for our lives through things like Bible study, prayer, devotions, fasting, and other spiritual disciplines. Worship, praising God in word and song, either in a group or individually. Christian relationship, which is intentionally spending time with a small group of fellow believers for study, fellowship, and accountability. Generosity, which is sharing with others the good works that we have seen, sharing to support God's work with all of our resources, including time, talents, and treasures. And witness, which is sharing with others the good works that we have seen God do in our lives. And then, of course, service is actions that serve to benefit other individuals or groups. And for purposes of my sharing today, I want to make mission and service kind of synonymous with each other. Now, people can enter the discipleship pathway at any of the six areas. They can be at different levels of their maturity in different areas at the same time. Someone may have a good understanding of the value of worship and yet not really understand the value of generosity. Someone else may really enjoy being in a small group and gain the benefits of active participation, but be totally uncomfortable with the thought of sharing their faith or God experiences with others. Progress on the discipleship pathway is almost never linear, and it's as common to have steps backwards as it is to take steps forward. Now, bear with me for a moment. This is called bad preaching. I'm going to make a seemingly non sequitur jump in my message here. I'd like to briefly talk about the idea of gateway drugs. This is a concept that suggests the early experimentation with alcohol or tobacco or prescription drugs can escalate to using more addictive drugs later on. Of course, we should remember that caffeine is a drug as well, and some people start out drinking coffee, and then maybe it evolves to drinking espresso, then Red Bull or Monster or Rockstar. I myself am more susceptible to the fried dough gateway drug. A donut hole or two on a Sunday morning can easily lead to me eating entire donuts or bear claws or apple fritters later in the week. Today, I would like to offer the suggestion that not all gateway drugs are potentially bad, because I think that mission and service are the gateway drug of the discipleship pathway. In some ways, service is often the easiest step onto the pathway. Realistically, nobody wants to move out of their comfort zone by participating in any area of the pathway that is new to them. By dipping a toe into the mission area, you're making it easier to connect with every other area of the discipleship pathway. While some people have a natural inclination to help others through service or mission, most of us need some encouragement from a familiar face to get involved in something new. It's often an invitation from a friend to join them in service, or after we hear testimonies of somebody else's positive experiences with a particular ministry that inspire us to try something new. And the reality is that even when we become involved in service, that we are exposed to and frequently have a chance to be personally involved with spiritual growth, worship, Christian fellowship, generosity, and witness. We experience spiritual growth through service because virtually every mission ministry at Glenmar is undergirded by prayer. Prayer for the participants, prayer for the recipients, prayer from our congregation supporting all of our mission ministries at the church. Some ministries have emerged out of an individual or group's response to their understanding of what God is calling us to do through the Bible. Mission trip participants take part in group devotions twice a day, wherever we serve. And for over 15 years, our youth have gained an understanding of service by fasting through their participation in the 30-hour famine. As for worship, many of us think that worship takes place only on Saturday evenings and Sunday mornings in the walls of this building. Well, it's important to note that on many of our mission trips, it includes local worship with congregations and sometimes worship of our own design. The day of service each year draws many hundreds of volunteers of all races, ages, and religions to one location here at Glenmar, where we are united in a common desire to serve the world. Seeing hundreds of volunteers pack hundreds of thousands of meals is an act of worship. Christian relationship is a wonderful side effect of involvement in service. As we heard from the Greenhorns, whether it's being part of a small group work crew on a mission trip or consistently seeing the same group of volunteers when you work with Habitat for Humanity or serve meals at the Day Resource Center or tutor with college and career prep, the opportunity to draw closer in relationship with fellow believers is always present. When it comes to generosity, service and mission just seem to draw the best out of people. Let me tell you about the person who is standing in line at the gift card table after worship, and here's the person in front of them saying that they are buying cards for the first time in order to start saving money for their child's mission trip. The person who overheard that conversation spoke to me and donated some of the proceeds from their own family gift card account to pay for that child's trip. Let me tell you about the day this summer when the water main supplying Glenmar out of Montgomery Road broke, which had the result of having to shut Glenmar down in the middle of the day. Well, normally that's no big deal, except that this was in the middle of the Baltimore mission camp, and we were supposed to feed 40 people here at the church that night. Well, one family with children participating in the mission trip volunteered the use of their home to feed all 40 of us. Even crazier, another couple with no connection to the Baltimore experience reached out to me and said, "Hey, you can bring everyone to our home if you need to." Let me tell you about the people that walk up to me and give me checks and say, "Use this to help someone go on a mission trip." Let me tell you about the people who take stars to provide children with gifts at Christmas time. The people who bring grocery bags full of food multiple times a year. The people who regularly drop off donations for grassroots. Let me tell you about the people that organize jewelry sales, 5K runs, silent auctions, and golf tournaments to raise money for organizations in Howard County that help the least, the last, and the lost. Let me tell you about people who eat chili, pancakes, or spaghetti for mission causes. I have lots of stories of generosity to share, but we do have the time constraints of the worship service. But Glenmar, please know that service encourages generosity, and Glenmar, you are an incredibly generous congregation. Of all the sections in the discipleship pathway, I think the area that most people struggle with is witness. We somehow often conflate the idea of witness with the need to knock on people's doors and ask, "If you died tonight, would you go to heaven?" Or maybe we have a vision of passing out gospel tracts on street corners. Witness is simply sharing with others the wonderful ways we've seen God at work in our life or in the world. At the end of each day on every mission trip, we gather all the participants together in a circle, and we go around and share something that we're thankful for or some way that we've seen or experienced God at work during the day. Now, at the beginning of the week, the sharing is often shallow and superficial. But as the week goes on and people start paying more to how they see God at work, the sharing gets deeper and more profound. This weekend, we have 9 different people sharing about how at least half a dozen ministries have transformed their lives or the lives of others. And that brings us full circle back to service. The beautiful thing is that we don't have to travel long distances or for extended periods of time to gain the benefits that come from service. I know that I'm probably known as the mission trip guy here at Glenmar, and I do have a special love for serving others through mission trips. But I'm equally in love with how we serve our neighbors right here in Ellicott City, Columbia, Baltimore, and other nearby locations. We tend to think of the mission field as far-off places and missionaries as people who have a special calling. But make sure you look at the sign when you leave the church parking lot today before you turn onto New Cut Road. It says, "Servant's Entrance." It's our job, our calling, and our blessing to be in ministry right where we are every day.